If you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 17, we're looking tonight at the name El Shaddai. El Shaddai. I'm going to read the first two verses in Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. Father, I ask that you'll speak to our hearts tonight as only your Holy Spirit can. Because, Father, this is not just a word to Abram. This is a word to every single person who realizes who you are. You are God Almighty, El Shaddai. And Father, that name carries so much meaning in it. I just pray that as we think about you, we think about you in so many different ways by the names that we've already studied. But Lord, I pray that as we look at this name tonight, that you'll speak to all of our hearts, and you'll speak just as you want to by your Holy Spirit. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. El Shaddai. The very first time I ever heard that name was in an Amy Grant song. You remember that? Long time ago. I mean, that kind of dates me. But anyway, and back then I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Man, it sounds kind of cool, you know. But then when I started going through this study a number of years ago on the names of God, and I got to this name, it was just like, oh, wait a minute. When she was singing about this name, I didn't really know what it meant, but now I do. And it's an awesome name, and it's an awesome picture of what God is really like. First of all, He is the God who is the Almighty One, period. Strong and unchanging. That word literally means is that He will always be on the throne. Always. He will always have all power. Always. There's never going to be a time when something dramatic happens and God is knocked off of His throne, because it's not going to happen. He is Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. In fact, Revelation chapter 1 says it like this. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. God wants us to understand that from our perspective, we always think in parentheses. Starts here, ends there. There's no parentheses for God. He was before everything. He will be after everything. He is everything. He is all-powerful God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. He has all power, period. There is nobody that has power except Him. And any power that anybody else has, they're allowed to have it from Him. The picture is the almighty power of God. I mean, there is no greater power. Think about this. All God had to do was say, let there be light, and there was light. That's all He had to do. Let there be stars. Let there be an earth. Let there be animals. That's all He had to do. He just had to say it, and it happened, because He has all power. There's no other power. And that's why it kind of tickles me sometimes to think about all these scientific people sitting around talking about how the Big Bang must have happened. There was a molecule that was smaller than the head of a pin of a needle that exploded, and now here's everything. And I'm thinking, how smart do you have to be that dumb? I mean, seriously? And I've even heard Christians go, well, God could have created it that way. Well, God created it by speaking it into, that's what the Scripture says. He's Almighty God. He is, as that passage said, the Alpha and the Omega. He's always been. He will forever be. That passage, again, I want to read it again one more time. Did I put it back in there, Revelation 1:8? Yeah. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, by the way, says it, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And I think one of the things that's going to happen, that's really just the reason I put this back up there, is that people who are living in our day and time think, well, God's out there somewhere. You know, if there is a God, he's out there somewhere. But there's going to be a time when everybody realizes in his presence, he's there. And he's always been there and he always will be there. And they will recognize his power. I remember in college, one of the things that I got to do, I was in a fraternity that was a service fraternity called Chamber of Commerce. And our whole goal as the Chamber of Commerce was to do things for the campus, to do things for the school. And part of that was they would pick two people out of our fraternity to be the bear trainers, and they would train the mascots. We were the Baylor Bears, and we actually had bears. We had a bear den and all that. And so it was really cool because I got to go in where the bears were. And you know, these bears had been basically trained up since they were a little bitty. We'd get them when they were like a few months old. They'd been abandoned or whatever. And they just become really like teddy bears. But you had to recognize their power no matter what when you went in there with the bears. And one of them's name was Judge. And Judge, when he stood up, he was way taller than me. He's about this tall. Huge bear. I mean, and I'm standing right in front of him, you know. But what he'd like, he'd put his paws out like this. And he has these pads. They're almost like our hands, but he has these pads and has little creases in them. And he'd like you to get in there and just kind of dig in those creases, and he'd just sit there and go, ah. But the thing of it is, you do that, and you know, after a while, your forearms start getting tired. But you can't quit till he's ready for you to quit. I'll be going, are you done yet? Because if you quit, man, yeah, he could just boom, knock you. Yeah, he could do anything, you know. And so you had to be aware of the power. That was our saying. You had to be aware of the power of the bear, because they have an incredible amount of power. And you don't ever let them get their arms around, or their arms, but their legs. Around your legs. Don't ever let that happen, because that's how they pull you down and then get on top of you. So, I mean, those were things that we were trained with before we'd ever get a chance to get in there with the bear. And I just think about a bear being so powerful, and that's nothing compared to God. I mean, this world is going to be standing before him in total awe of his power. It's going to be an incredible thing. He is outside, literally, of our comprehension. Anybody ever seen that movie with Denzel Washington where he's the coach and he's coaching the boys in South Carolina? What's the name of that? Yeah, Remember the Titans. And when one of the boys did something really stupid, he said, "Are you outside of your mind?" I think a lot of people are going to be outside of their mind when they finally realize how powerful God really is. I mean, you think of all the powerful things in nature. It's nothing. We think it's something. When you see a tornado tear up a whole strip, when you see a hurricane take out a city, when you see a tsunami come in and wipe out a whole... Yeah, you think of power with the earthquake. I mean, you think of those things that are so powerful. That's nothing for God. Nothing. His power is ultimate because he is I am. He is I am, the Almighty One, strong and unchanging El Shaddai. Secondly, he is also our provision. Because he's almighty, he's able to provide us with everything we will ever need. Everything we'll ever need, he can provide it. Now, you know, I think in my mind sometimes, boy, wouldn't it be great if I had unlimited wealth? You know, just anything I needed to get for somebody, I could do it, you know, just whatever, just unlimited wealth. You know, you think of all these people that have made it financially, you know, they're billionaires or whatever else, and you think, man, they could do anything they want to with their wealth, with their power. But God owns it all. God owns it all. He is our supplier. Everything we will ever need, He has already supplied it, by the way. Philippians 4:19 says it like this, and my God will meet what? All your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus, these were supplied through Jesus and what He did for us. See, everything that God is and everything that God does is supplied to us through what Jesus did. In the Old Testament, it was what He was going to do, and now what He's already done. He supplied everything that we'll ever need. Everything. So we can't get down in the dumps and go, man, nobody cares about me. I don't have, you know. We can't. Because God supplied everything. Everything. Not only is He our supplier, El Shaddai, He's our sustainer. Psalm chapter 54, verse 4 says it like this. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. By the way, folks, it's not your bank account that sustains you. It's not your friends that sustain you or your family. It's not your health that sustains you. It's God. Because He can at any moment say, that's it. That's it. You know, and what are you going to do? That's why Jesus says, what good is it if you gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in You, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What could mere mortals do to me? You see, when I look at God in comparison to this world and the things of this world, when I look at it that way, I realize it's not that big a deal. You know, if I'm going through a tough time, not the only one, everybody goes through tough times, but when I look at God, I realize, hey, He's far above all that. He's taking care of me. He's sustaining me right in the midst of this struggle. We can praise Him because no matter how tough life is, no power in heaven or on earth can thwart His plan for us as long as we follow Him. Think about that. If we're following Him, there's not anything anybody can do to stop what He's doing. Nothing. We can thank Him that He's also made an everlasting covenant with us. If we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He is sustaining us all the way through to the end. He's not going to get part of the way through and go, I give up on Marcus. He's never going to make it. You know, He's not going to do that. He's already said, you're my child. You're my child. I love you. And I'll be here for you. And I will never turn my back on you. And we can confess any doubts about God's ability or desire to help us. We can do that because we know He'll listen to us. In fact, I see God in many ways as such a loving Father who's just waiting for us to come and crawl up in His lap and say, Father, I need Your help here. I need You. I need You to give me strength for this day. I need You to help me in a relationship. I need You to help me in my own personal walk. I need You to help me. And He's just waiting for us to do that. He is Almighty God. Now, we're going to stop there for just a second and run back to this picture in Genesis chapter 17. God appears to Abraham, who's 99 years old, and says to him, I'm going to, what? I'm going to give you a son. A cooter? No, he's not going to give, he's going to give his, I can hear you back there. No, I'm going to give you a son. Now, can you imagine what's going through Abraham's head? I mean, I'm not 99 years old, but if he came to me and said that, I'd be going like, what? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? And honestly, later on down in verse 17, Abraham, hears it again, and he says, and Sarah will bear you a son. And he starts to laugh. Like, God, how's that possible? It's possible because he's Almighty God. It's possible because he's already made a covenant with Abraham. It's possible because all things are possible through Christ who gives me my strength. It's possible because he's God. El Shaddai. It is possible. Now, huh? That's right. He said it. God is our supplier. He's our sustainer. And then this is the great part about what I love about the name El Shaddai, Almighty One. He is our strength. The mountain that I can run to. The scripture talks a lot about mountains. The Hebrew term Shaddak, which we get the derivative of the word El Shaddai from, literally means mountain. The picture here is that he is immovable. No matter what we're facing, did I already go past that picture up there, by the way? There's a picture coming up. Okay, I forgot to put in here. I see it now. Never mind. I did put in here where it is. Okay, so the picture is he's immovable. No matter what we're facing, he is the rock that can never be moved. You know, there's old fairy tales about things that just can't happen, like the guy can't pull the sword out of the stone and all those kinds of things. But I guarantee you one thing, God will never be moved. Now, I'm going to put a picture up here. There it is. Anybody know what that is? That's Masada. Masada is the fortress that the Israelites could run to and be safe there because nobody could ever overtake them in Masada. There was only one way up to the top of this mountain, and they had so much supplies stored there that the people could live for over a year on just the supplies that were there. Plus, they had water there, fresh water. So it was a place that they could run to. It was the mountain. It was the place that they could always feel safe. And that's a picture for us of God. He is the fortress. He is this place named Masada is a derivative of that name, Masada or Shaddak. It literally means the mighty fortress. The history of Masada was that it was impenetrable and nobody could take it down. And multiple armies tried. The fact is, as long as Israel walked in the strength of the Lord Almighty, it lasted. But when they got their eyes off the Lord, it ultimately fell to the Romans. Isn't that a picture for us? As long as I keep my eyes fixed, Paul says, I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I don't look to the left or to the right, but I keep my eyes fixed on the finish line, on the Savior who's standing there. As long as we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Almighty, He will not let us be shaken because He is the rock. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. The Lord God Almighty. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, Shaddak. I lift up my eyes, not that that mountain can do anything for me, but the one who made that mountain can do it for me. He is El Shaddai, Almighty One, our provision, our sustainer, and our strength. Father, I thank you that you are El